The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to St. John. At the Last Supper, when Judas had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you should also love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." The Gospel of the Lord. In the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. It seems odd that today's gospel lesson is taking us back in time to before Jesus' death and resurrection, especially now that we are into the fifth Sunday of Easter. It's like we could be in a scene of a biblical Back to the Future, if you will, with the disciples and Jesus. We are going back in time to hear Jesus preparing the disciples for their future, life after Easter, life without his physical presence, the new way of discipleship living that they can't yet begin to imagine or even understand. I believe this lesson is for us in much the same way for our Christian discipleship today. We too live with the Jesus after Easter, almost 2,000 years after Easter. So just as much as the first disciples, we need to hear and rehear Jesus' sentiments on the future, to hear him tenderly call us his little children as he reflects on leaving us. The Jesus whom in many ways we can only imagine, whom we come to know and understand in Scripture, and whom we experience in communion and community. While the lectionary only gives us these few verses for today, they are but a small portion of a larger event. The scene and context in which Jesus is speaking in this scripture from John's Gospel isn't in some lovely, serene setting in which the disciples are relaxing while receiving his message. It is tense. Jesus knows his hour has finally come, and his life is coming to an end. He and the disciples are gathered together for Passover, their last gathering and supper before all of Jesus' teachings and predictions on his death become painfully clear to them. Jesus starts off the evening by washing the disciples' feet. He is met with reluctance, resistance, and confusion as he pours the water and bends and bows at their feet. This is an act of a servant, not their Lord. And Jesus washes the feet of each of them, even Judas Iscariot, who will betray him later that night, and Peter, who will deny being one of his disciples three times when accused after Jesus' arrest. Jesus treats each the same in his loving act of servitude. The confusion continues as Jesus announces during dinner that one of them will betray him. The disciples are startled and alarmed and uncertain who he is referring to. With the chatter of betrayal still in the air, Jesus quietly and directly speaks to Judas, hands him a piece of bread, and sends him out into the darkness to do what he is going to do. And this is where we enter into the lesson. Jesus is speaking and teaching the disciples, explaining to them what he wants them to know and hopes that they'll hang on to about their future. God remains present in the world and to the world because of him and after him by what is going to happen next. That they'll look for him and not find him. That where he is going, he goes alone. I can imagine there's more confusion and tension in his words to them. But then he says, I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you should love one another. As is often the case in John's gospel, the group is silent after Jesus teaches. And even when we read ahead a few verses, Peter does respond, but not about the commandment. This makes me wonder, did the disciples totally miss Jesus' new commandment? Maybe. Or is it John opening the door of this Last Supper lesson for us to listen in? I suggest the door is open. Though this commandment does sound familiar, doesn't it? We have heard something like this before from Jesus, so perhaps it is easy to miss as new. You see, to love your neighbor as yourself is first commanded as law way back in Leviticus. And the prophet Zechariah implores the people of Israel to turn away from evil and love one another. When asked which commandment is the most important, Jesus sums them up with these two. Love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. And to make certain we get it, or at least hope that we do, he backs it up with the parable of the Good Samaritan. Throughout his ministry, Jesus never fails to point out for his disciples where love is and where love is lacking. To love one another is a given. Yet, Jesus specifically calls this commandment new. You see, this is not the big picture general claim of loving everyone as your neighbor, though that's an important one for sure. It is something more specific and nuanced. In this new commandment Jesus gives to his disciples, to love one another is to love each other. Disciple to disciple, one to one, to love each other as he has loved them. To love each other for the sake of remembering how his love for them feels, how he touched them, looked at them, spoke to them, how he taught them and listened to them and prayed with them. And while love is a mark of discipleship for the outer world to see, it is also essential for the disciples of Christ to show love to each other. This love for each other is necessary to sustain faith and belief after he is gone. To give and receive and experience this love is a necessary practice for every disciple, a practice to sustain us in feeling and experiencing Jesus' love and presence again and again. Love passed on through the first disciples to every generation of Christians since. It is for us to do the same. While we may know the truth of Jesus' command, the practice of it is more challenging. To really love each other means that our differences are exposed, that there will be moments of awkwardness, times that we wonder what we're doing and how we will be received. As much as we need and want to love each other, we will get annoyed and irritated and impatient with each other too. We are certain to make judgments and be critical. To love each other as Jesus loves us is the practice of opening our hearts more fully and deeply to the power of love that comes from our Lord, who washes the feet of betrayers, who forgives sins and reconciles us to God. That power we each have when we trust in Jesus more and in ourselves less. Because he lived as one of us, Jesus knows that the human life is never without times of adversity, pain, and suffering. Times when we feel separated, disconnected, and alone. To practice love with each other as a community of disciples means that there is always another to be the love of Jesus for us and with us. There is always someone ready to listen, ready to pray, and ready to walk with us. And in the times of joy and celebration, we give thanks and praise together and for each other, cheering each other on. Jesus knows that we aren't able to give what we don't have. As we practice the love of Jesus with each other, we in turn observe and recognize where love is and where it is lacking. So when we are called, we are prepared to share this love that we have received so fully that it will spill over whenever and wherever it's needed. So we may have gone back to the future with our scripture lesson today, but let's hear this as the new commandment as Jesus intends for this day, our future as disciples, for God's church and the world. This commandment is the culmination of Jesus' life and ministry. Every lesson, every parable, and every action leads us to this life after Easter. Let's take it to heart and practice, practice, practice. By this, everyone will know we are disciples of Jesus Christ if we have love for one another. Amen.